Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Today is Thursday, July 14th, 2011. This is Rajiv Escana for the Law Offices of Rajiv Escana PC, immigration.com. This is a community conference call wherein we address issues raised by the community. Merely by attending this call, you don't become our clients, and by us answering your questions, we don't become your lawyers. This is definitely just a community information call. Bear in mind, this call is being recorded. If you do not wish your voice to be recorded, please hang up or hide your identity or don't speak up, okay? That said, I'm going to address the questions that have been posted first from the forums. The question number one is from a community member, MSA_123. My question is around H-1 status after resignation. Employer filed for H-1 last April, got it stamped, now planning to move back permanently to India. I'm planning to resign around 2 weeks before leaving USA. So the question is, can I stay those 2 weeks after I resign? Well, there is a legal answer and there's a practical answer. Legally, you can stay up to 10 days after your 6 years or 3 years are over. But there is no 10-day grace period, as far as I know, when you resign. Okay? Now, if you were to overstay by 2 weeks, will it become the end of the world? Probably not, especially not for an L2, which you are planning in the future. For L2, having overstayed a couple of weeks is not going to be a big issue. But if you ask me, technically, can I stay 2 weeks, the answer is no. As a practical matter, I don't think it's that big a deal. So you have to decide what you want to do. Personally, I think it's okay to do so. Like I said, legally and technically, it's wrong because you have no grace period. Once you resign, the day after your resignation, you're out of status. But practically speaking, 2 weeks more is not that objectionable by any measures. Okay, next question is from Kevin. Wants to know about his B1, B2 extension. He sent in his papers. So the question is, can he stay past his current I-94 expiration when he has already filed a request for extension? The answer is yes. Yes. Okay. Now, here is the problem, though. The problem is what I say and what consulates think are two different things. USCIS is perfectly fine with you staying once you file the extension request. But consulates do not like people asking for extensions, depending upon which country you're from. Since your country of origin is not known, if you were dealing with one of the Indian consulates, they would probably give you trouble for any B1, B2 extensions just because you applied for an extension earlier. My advice to you is make sure you keep a copy of the B1, B2 extension application, proof that it was filed, receipt, everything, because you want to be able to show that you were validly waiting for the extension request to be adjudicated while you were in USA. I also want to give you a pointer. You have said that your citizen girlfriend was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. That's very, very sad. I'm sorry to hear that. And you are the primary caregiver. When you ask for an extension, please don't use the word caregiver. The reason is USCIS often confuses that word with you taking away an American job. So make sure you make it clear that you are here for her moral and emotional support. That is your primary motivation. You are not here as a healthcare worker. I have seen B1, B2 visas denied based upon the fact that, oh, if you're a caregiver, that means you are taking away an American job from a healthcare worker, which is not what you're doing. You're not a nurse. You are a friend, okay? So keep this in mind for the future. If you eventually get your I-539 denied, as long as you were waiting while this was pending and then you left as soon as it was denied, I don't think it should be a problem. But depending upon the country you're coming from, consulates could review it differently, so future visas might become a little bit of a problem. But if you're going to get married to an American citizen eventually, a K-1, K-3, or a green card is absolutely no problem just because you stayed while you were waiting for an extension. but a future B1, B2 could be an issue. Okay, good luck. Next question is from Robert, who has the following background. He wants to know whether he can do an EB2 case. Some of these questions I can answer, some of these questions I cannot answer, because those questions depend upon a number of variables which only your lawyers can decide. Now, you finished your MBA in 2010. Okay, it does not appear that you would qualify for an EB2 unless your MBA was done in USA. You say you have a 3 years master's in business administration. I'm not sure which country it is from. It has to be evaluated. Oh, you have qualifications from India. Sorry, I saw it. So if you have a 3 years bachelor's in computer applications combined with 3 years master's in business administration, you could qualify. 3+3 combos are usually acceptable. But ultimately, it is a credentials evaluation service who has to do a thorough research into your background and see what you can qualify. It looks to me that you should be able to. And I'm assuming that your MBA was from a university. Okay. So diplomas and all, they usually disregard. But the two degrees, the 3+3, the computer applications degree and the master's in business administration should take you to EB2. So, is diploma from India considered? My other concern is job title is different, but job roles are the same. These are all issues very intricately tied into your exact situation. I cannot answer this question. I also cannot answer what the salary will be, because the salary depends upon the title, seniority, the county and the state where you're working, all those things. So another question is, I'm an L1B. Once I convert to L1A, will I be able to apply for a green card on EB1? Yes. Yes, you will be able to. Okay, so those are the pretty much outlines of the answers that I can give you. Rest I cannot. Next question is from Usman. Usman wants to know, his wife got a CR1, which is immediate relative, so I guess you are a U.S. citizen, Usman. She didn't have a Canadian passport, so when she went to the consulate for her interview, they asked her to come back with a passport. It'll be 5 weeks when the conference call was last held. My question is, how long does it normally take? This is too long. I think for them to sit on this case for so many weeks, that's unusual. If only the passport was missing, it should be perhaps an overnight job. So you may want to call the consulate and find out what is going on with her case. Okay. Normally, I would say this is an overnight thing, but I'm not sure exactly what's going on. Next question is Sunray 1, H-1B transfer and extension for 7th year. Currently, I have an H-1B with Company A, 6th year expiring September 2011, 7th year expiring August 2012. I-140 already approved. Will I be able to transfer to Company B and get 3 years extension? Yes, even though your I-140 was approved through Company A, you can get 3 year extension for Company B. Is there a risk of getting transfer and extension getting denied? Yes, the risk is there if Company A revokes/withdraws your I-140 before your H-1 is approved. Okay, so really, and this question has been asked by many people. I think this has been asked 3 times today. So bear in mind, guys, when you are in a situation where your I-140 has been approved by Company A, and you want to transfer to Company B, it is certainly possible, and you can get extension of H-1 for Company B, even though your I-140 was approved through Company A. But the best way to do it is this. Continue working for Company A. Let Company B file your H-1 3-year extension premium processing. Only when the H-1 through Company B is approved, transfer over. Bear in mind also that USCIS has changed its mind. Earlier, a few months earlier, we have received a lot of priority date transfers, even where the old employer revoked the I-140. We were still able to transfer the priority date over to a new green card started through Company B. It was believed very widely, although the regulations are a little bit unclear on this issue, it was believed very widely that the only time you will not be able to transfer your priority date is if your I-140 was revoked by USCIS, not by the employer. So if the employer revokes, it was thought you should still be able to carry your priority date. It seems in the last few months, 3-4 months, USCIS has taken a harder stand. Now they say if the employer revokes the I-140, you will not get your priority date transfer. So that means you're back to square one, start all over again. Now, another dangerous thing is, I have looked at the regulations and the law very carefully. In my opinion, it certainly is within the power of USCIS to revoke an H-1 already given to you if the I-140 underlying it is revoked. However, as a practical matter, they have never done that. I have seen hundreds of cases, if not thousands of cases, where I-140s were revoked, priority date was declined, but USCIS never bothered to revoke the H-1 extension that has already been given. Okay, so I trust that takes care of, there's three people with the same question. And he also wants to know if the transfer is denied, can I still continue working with the old company? And the answer is yes. And you should wait for the transfer to be actually approved before you join Company B. Okay, about the porting, that's question number two. I've already answered question number three. Wife is on a J-1 visa. Well, here's what happens. If she's on a J-1 visa and she has not received her waiver yet, she can still be included in your green card at any stage or even after approval of the green card, as long as when she applies for her own green card, which is known as either following to join or simultaneous, depending upon which stage she's at. If she's got her waiver and you've got your green card, she can apply as following to join. She gets her green card fairly quickly. We actually had a case, it was an interesting case, where a physician could not get a waiver. So her husband got her green card. She had to go to India, spend 2 years. And then when 2 years passed, we were able to file a following to join case for her. She inherited the priority date of her husband's petition, and she came into USA within 6, 8 months, 10 months after her 2 years were over. So that's not a major issue. Next question is Vasavi Vangala. She's currently on H-4 that expires July 2011. Extension has been filed. Approval has not come. Company wants to file H-1B and are ready to wait till October to join them. Should I go ahead with the filing of the H-1B? Well, you can go ahead and apply for the H-1B, but more important than the last action rule, see, normally what I do is this. When I have a situation like this, when I file the H-1, I also include a request to withdraw the H-4 as soon as the H-1 is approved. So I tell USCIS, kindly note that if the H-1 is approved after the before the H-4 is approved, let me rephrase that. The problem here is this, that you no longer are in status. You are in authorized period of stay. So you have two choices, either to wait till the H-4 approval comes and then apply for H-1, or apply for the H-1. There are only two possibilities. The H-1 will get approved first or the H-4 will get approved first. If the H-1 gets approved first and the H-4 is still pending, they will not give you I-94 within USA. They will, in all probability, ask you to go get a visa stamping because you have H-4 pending, not H-4 approved status, which is full status. They don't give you status when you are in authorized period of stay. Okay. So if the H-1 gets approved first, you have to leave and get your stamping done. If it gets approved later, you're already on H-1, so there's no question of a last action rule. In either case, last action rule doesn't interfere with your life. In one case, you have to leave USA. If you leave USA, your H-4 is automatically withdrawn, and you have to go get your visa stamping. In the other case, your H-1 is getting approved last. So last action rule is not the problem. The problem is getting status within USA. Discuss that with your lawyers. I have a question next from Ramjays 2000. They want to know, I'm eligible to apply for citizenship in October 2011. My stay away from USA has been 765 days involving six trips. First trip lasted for 182 days. I've never worked in USA. I'm sponsored by my son, and I'm aged 73 years. Will there be any problem? Well, sir, what happens is when you have stay of more than 6 months, and 6 months is a little bit more than 182 days typically, because there are months with 31 days. USCIS may not make an issue of it, but I think they count 180 days as 6 months, which is actually not quite true. They can ask you to explain the reason for going away for more than 6 months. Okay? If you have a good explanation that clearly shows the reason you went outside USA was not because you had abandoned your green card, but because you had some particular purpose for which you had left. As long as you have a good explanation for this particular trip, I don't think it should be a problem. The most important thing, sir, is for us to make sure that you, in fact, have your permanent home in the United States. As long as you've had that for the last 5 years, even though your trips were quite lengthy, it should not become a problem. So it's a very difficult question to answer without knowing the exact details of what happened here. There are people who have this kind of absences and have had no problems. And there are people who are not able to explain the absences, especially the ones more than 180 days, and they can't get the citizenship. So we'll see how it works out. I would say go ahead and apply and see what happens. But if there is a question, any question that you are not really, you were not settled in USA, you should consider very carefully, because sometimes if you apply for a citizenship, and you don't realize that you have actually some issues on your green card, they can actually try to revoke your green card. But the good news is, since you are sponsored by your son, who I believe must be your citizen, even if they take away your green card, you can get it back again. But the citizenship clock has to start all over again, which is a pain. So consider all these things. If you were indeed firmly settled in USA and went to India for, or your home country just for specific purposes for relatively short durations overall, I don't think you should have a problem. Next question is Aruchan. Currently on H-1B until 2012. My 6 years would end then. I-140 has been approved. I have another potential employer. I've already answered that question, that you can apply for an extension. So his question is, I only have the receipt number for the I-140 approval. Is that enough? We have used that in the past. I'm pretty sure in our office we have used only the receipt number of the I-140 for an extension of H-1 request, and it's worked out fine. So I don't know what else to tell you. I think it should work. Sweetie Lana says, I have a refugee travel document. Can I get it renewed in Belgium? I'm sorry, ma'am. I don't do any of the refugee political asylum work, but my knowledge is very severely limited on this area. I wish I could tell you more. I don't know the answer to your question. Next question is from another migrant. After I-140 approved H-1B transfer, same question that I have answered before. Currently working for Employer X on H-1B. Okay. Looking to change employer. Employer Y is ready to do H-1B transfer and green card sponsorship. I want to port my priority date. I already said that priority date can only be ported if the old employer doesn't revoke it. Okay. So when is the priority date ported? The priority date is ported when your second I-140 is approved. Okay, next question is from Michelle. Michelle is a voluntary missionary who works in Nicaragua, and she wants to get married to a Nicaraguan man, but they want to continue to do the missionary work there. So, but they do want to come to USA for 2-3 months. But she wants him to be able to work in USA. Well, Michelle, do me a favor. Read these two forms. I think what you should do, in my opinion, is get him his green card, and when you come to USA for 2-3 months, apply for two benefits. One is Form I-131 for reentry permit, which allows people to stay away for up to 2 years. So one, apply for reentry permit, form I-131. Read the instructions very carefully. They give you a lot of information. That will protect his green card. Even if his green card goes away, you can always get it again. But this is a good form to file. And the second form you should file, which is more important also, is N as in Nancy, 470. Read the instructions on N-470. I remember there was some exception for missionaries and their spouses. So what this form does is that even though you are living in Nicaragua, he is considered to be staying in USA for citizenship purposes. So in 3 years, he can get his citizenship, which is a very good benefit. Otherwise, if he stays outside USA, he can't accumulate the time towards citizenship. So read the instructions very carefully. You may have to ask for one more renewal of both the reentry permit and the N-470 before you can apply for citizenship. Also, I think there is an exception somewhere in the citizenship rules also. Read the citizenship handbook on the USCIS website. There may be a provision to apply for his citizenship early instead of waiting 3 years when you are engaged in missionary work. So look into these three things, N-470, I-131, and citizenship handbook, also available on USCIS website. I think that would be the way to do it. And if you have any questions, feel free to send me a message through the contact us form on our website. Here is a question from RK. I am not sure of the answer. We've dealt with debarment. He's talking about the debarment of Prince George's County public school system, who paid $4.2 million in back wages for violations of H-1B temporary foreign worker program. And they were also debarred for 2 years. I know that they cannot file H-1s, H-1 extensions, H-1 amendments, and they cannot file I-140s. But a million-dollar question that you're asking is, can I file for 485? I don't know. I haven't looked at the regulations. If I get time at the end of the call today, I will take a quick look at the regulations, and I will tell you whether or not you can. Otherwise, just go talk to your lawyers who've done all this work for you. They can figure it out for you. Okay. Next question, staying in India and coming back while GC in process and new GC labor petition. This is a little bit complicated situation. It's a long fact pattern, but I'll see what I can do. He wants to go to India and stay there for 6 months to a year, but wants to maintain status in USA. Currently has an H-1B. Been on H-1B for 11 years. Okay. Also has an EAD, valid till June 2013, and AP valid till May 2012. Given that I would not have any U.S. pay stubs while I'm in India, I would like to know the best and safe approach for me to stay in India. Well, look, I want to point out a couple of things. First, there is no law that says if you have an H-1 approval, you have to continue to stay in USA. As long as next time when you enter on H-1, the job is still available for you, even though you were outside for several months or even a year, it should not be a bar from entering USA, but you would be required to show that the job is still available. The second issue, which I am more concerned about, is this. Let us say you are working for employer X who got your green card started. They are, you know, you have your 485 pending. Now, the idea behind a green card is that you've got a permanent job, permanent full-time job. If someone has a permanent full-time job, how can the employer afford to let them go for 1 year? Who is doing their job in their absence? Of course, if the company is large, they can always farm out the work to other people or temporarily hire somebody else. Or maybe you are working for that company from outside USA. This is a fact pattern that needs to be understood very carefully. So I want you to talk to your employer. Okay. The question is, can another employer file EB-2 for me? And the answer is yes, as long as you have a four-year bachelor's degree. And even though you're outside USA, they can. Okay. So let me look at your specific questions, and I see how many I can answer. In the first set, you have said, can I go for H-1B stamping in India? You can. Port of entry risk is that you have to demonstrate the job is still available. Can I come back on AP? Yes, you can. Can they ask for my pay stubs? No. Obviously, you're not working in USA. Why would you have American pay stubs? Do I have to be on U.S. payroll? You don't. Any other supporting documents? Just something that shows that that job, based upon which your green card has been applied, is still available. Can I file a new GC in EB-2 and wait for 6 months or so to get it approved, then go to India after applying for re-entry permit? Yes, of course you can. I'm also getting fingerprint notice every 15 months, and the next one is due around March 2012. Is there any way I can postpone this for 3 to 6 months? You can reschedule fingerprinting at least once or twice. If I were to file a GC in EB-2, ask my employer to file before joining. You can. I had only 4.5 years in USA, 2.5 in India. It doesn't matter where your experience is, as long as the experience is after your bachelor's degree. Do I do H-1B transfer to vendor and file green card? No, you don't have to. You can file green card without H-1B transfer. Does filing state make any difference? No, it does not. It is no longer a local process. It is now a nationalized process. Next question is PK-2010. Already has an approved I-140, pending I-485, where he no longer works. He can qualify for EB-2 to a future employer. So the questions are, assuming the labor certification is cleared and the new employer files I-140 and ports the priority date, remember what I just said about porting. You can only port if the old employer does not revoke the I-140. Will the new employer have to file a new 485? No. You can actually interfile a new I-140 on top of the existing I-140-485 combo that you have. Okay. So absence of pay stubs should not be an issue here. Next question is from Divya. Divya is confused about how she should be paid. She's getting paid her monthly salary on H-1 as per the LCA. And the overtime plus extra amount is being paid as bonus. But she is getting bad vibes because the amount is not reflected on W-2 or 1099. First of all, you can never take a 1099 while you're an H-1. Okay? Be mindful of that. And as far as I know, ma'am, I'm not a tax lawyer. You need to talk with a CPA about how amounts received should be reflected. I'm pretty sure all amounts that you receive as bonus have to be reflected on your W-2. I am concerned that your employer might be reflecting this as per diem. And for per diem, which in my view may be incorrect, I'm not sure what the tax implications are, you need to talk with your CPA, an accountant. Okay? But definitely I'm pretty sure that if you receive any bonuses, they have to be reflected on W-2 as taxable income. Next question, Suri8873. Wife went for H-1 stamping in Hyderabad. She used to work with the client A, so there's a misrepresentation in the record. So they want to know, how do I find out how long the block or ban against her is? Sir, a misrepresentation in a visa is a permanent bar. What is the possible success rate for waiver? Not very good. The waivers are called 212D3 waivers, and 212D3 waivers are not that easy to get. Completely up to the consulate. What kind of support does she need from the employer? I can't think of what she would need from the employer. What are the consequences for her or her employer with waiver submission? I mean, she's got to have a very good explanation, otherwise she won't get a waiver. But I don't see any implications. If she's telling the truth and she didn't do anything purposely wrong, she should be okay. Dame says, I posted the following question and got your positive answer. I emailed you, and then please don't give my email address in public, okay? I emailed you to take legal consultation. I never got your email. What you can do is just send me an email through the Contact Us form. There is a Contact Us form on our website. Go there, or just pick up the phone and call my office, 703-908-4800, 703-908-4800, extension 110. I may not be able to take the call right away, but you can always leave a message, okay? And I return all my calls within the next day. So go ahead and give me a call, and, we'll take it from there. You can also send us an email. And the address that you have, the email address that you had put on the website, that is correct, but please don't post it. Next question is Andrew GC. He says, my green card was approved in 2010, and I'm planning on traveling outside U.S. with trips between 5 and 7 months over the next 2 years. I know that I have to apply for I-131. Andrew, see if you also qualify for N-470. Read the instructions. N-470, N as in Nancy. Now, your questions. Is a re-entry permit valid for single entry? No, it can be a multiple document. If a trip is less than 6 months, should I still use re-entry? Yes, you should. You should always use re-entry permit regardless of the duration of the trip. How does this affect the wait time for naturalization? Look, naturalization, if anything, I-131 only helps you. It doesn't hurt you. The real thing in naturalization is how long you've been outside USA in the past 5 years. Here's the law. If you are ever outside USA for more than 1 year, then your clock is reset and you have to accumulate 4 years and 1 day of physical presence. I'm sorry, rephrase that, of green card before you can apply again. Out of 4 years, 1 day, you must be physically present in USA 2.5 years, I think, or maybe half the time, one of those rules. So if you're outside USA for more than 1 year, re-entry permit only gives you 1 year back, okay? It doesn't do anything more than that. But if your stay is less than 1 year and more than 6 months, you must have a good explanation why you were gone. If your stay outside USA is less than 6 months, usually they don't bother. So if you keep your stay less than 6 months, the re-entry permit protects your green card and the law protects your citizenship. But if you have an N-470 file, then, of course, there is no problem at all. Okay. All right, so this takes care of this. Now, next question is from Houston Krishna. I've spoken with you before, and I... few things to ask you. My wife is on H-1B with no paychecks from day one, which is November 2009. So she's been out of status 14 months. He wants to complain to the Department of Labor, and he was told that they will only address the last 12 months. Well, here is the weird thing. It is my opinion that if you file a complaint validly, they can at least address the last 12 months. They may be able to reach beyond that. There is a loophole in the law that allows them actually to go back in time indefinitely. I don't know how your particular region of labor department addresses that issue, but at least the last 12 months are taken care of. Okay? And it's not necessary that, in other words, if I have, your problem is, I have last 12 months, but then I have 4 or 5 months over that, can they address my issue? And the answer is yes. Don't worry about that. So you should file a complaint. If my wife gets a full-time job in USA after submitting WH-4, but without receipt number, is it possible for her to join the new employer? Yes. She shouldn't join the new employer until she, well, this is a complicated issue. Let me just rethink this. There are some areas of law that are very complicated. This is one of them. She may be able to join the employer, the new employer, when the H-1 is filed. But please check with your lawyers who filed the H-1. There is a slight exception in the law that might apply. Is she out of status or unlawful? She is out of status. She is deportable. If they catch her, they can deport her, and then she can't come back for 5 years. But she's not unlawful until the old employer or USCIS revokes her H-1. If the H-1 has been revoked, then there is a strong possibility she is considered to be unlawfully present in USA. And then if you're unlawfully present for 180 days, you can't come back for 3 years. If you're unlawfully present for 1 year, you can't come back for 10 years. Right now, if she still, her H-1 has not been revoked either by USCIS or by her employer, I don't think there's any issue of unlawful presence. Unlawful presence in her case begins when the I-94 expires. Next question from Dame says, I filed for H-1B extension and I got promoted while the case was in progress. Should this require H-1B refile or amendment? Well, I don't know. Depends upon what the promotion entails. If the jobs are substantially the same, location is the same, salary is similar, job descriptions are pretty much the same, I don't think it should be a problem. You have to do nothing. But this is something your lawyers can help you decide. I cannot. What is the difference between H-1B amendment? But let's say the two jobs were totally different. I personally think that you would have to refile the H-1. You cannot amend an H-1 which is still in progress. And by the way, there's a lot of confusion about what is refiling, what is transfer, what is amendment. Basically, it's the same paperwork. Don't get confused with all this nomenclature. It's the same paperwork. Can my wife on H-4 travel and go for visa stamping during this time? I would say stabilize yourself, get your proper H-1 approval before you send her out, because the consulates these days are looking at all kinds of details of the H-1 visa. So no, don't let her travel. Okay. Next question. Somebody on F-1 student status wants to change to J-1 and after one semester. You can do that. You'll have to have the institution issue you a DS-2019, which is the form. Like for F-1, you have I-20. For J-1, you have DS-2019. They issue that, then you can take that to your home country and apply for a J-1 visa, or you can apply for a change of status within USA. Next question is Ram Shetty. Applied for advanced parole 2 months ago, is still in processing. Can I go to India? I believe if you leave when the advanced parole is pending, it will be considered to be abandoned. So if USCIS finds out that you left while this was pending, they would consider it to be invalid. Even if it is issued, they can take it away. Automatic visa revalidation. Automatic visa revalidation doesn't work this way, the way you are thinking. So if somebody is out of status, can they just leave USA and come back getting another I-94? I don't believe so. Okay? It doesn't work like that. If you're out of status, not only are you not entitled to AVR, you also can be considered to have violated your visa terms. So if you have a visa stamp on your passport, even that CBP can consider to have been revoked. So that's not the way it would work. It would actually work only that you would have to go get a new visa stamp and then enter using the H-1 visa stamp. Last question from Sai4GC. My H-1 is up to July 2012, joining on EAD with client. In case if I apply for H-1 again before expiry of current I-94, do I get new H-1 with I-94 attached? No. Once you start using your EAD, you then will have to go outside USA to get an H-1 visa stamp, unless INS makes a mistake. So you can get your H-1 again, but you'll have to be out with a visa stamp. All right. Now, I have answered all the questions that were posted. anybody who has a follow-up question on what I have discussed right now, press 5-star on your phone. 5-star. Press 5-star. One question. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Guys, it doesn't look like I'm going to have time to deal with any new questions because we have so many follow-up questions already. 3 to 5 to 7, 9 questions already. So we may not be able to deal with any new topics. I just have 20 more minutes left. I will, of course, address all the questions that people have raised their hands on. So people who have pressed 5-star now, their questions I will answer, but the rest I will not be able to. Let me get started. Area code 414. Go ahead, please. Area code 414. You're on. Person calling from area code 414. 414-949. Go ahead. Okay. Area code, let's see. Area code 386. Go ahead, please. Say hello, area code 386. For some reason, people can't hear me. Area code 860, go ahead. 860, go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, my name is Kiran, and this is about the friend I have with the misrepresentation case.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to know, I mean, the visa officer, when she went for the H-4 stamping, was very... he's very favorable. He said to mention that her son is a U.S. citizen and give the explanation about it.
Right.
It's not her fault. The client letter is given by the employer. It's not.
Yeah, if she did not do anything knowingly, then what I would do, instead of filing for a waiver, I would first want to talk with the consulate and submit a detailed brief saying that I'm not even at fault. Why are you, in the first place, this bar should not be applied to me.
Yeah, the thing is, there's
a difference between applying for a waiver and asking that the bar not be applied. That's a very big legal difference.
Oh, okay.
What we are saying is, this bar has been applied wrongly. Don't apply the bar.
Okay.
If they agree with us, then there is no bar at all.
Okay, I think that looks like a better option.
Okay, wait. If they don't agree, then they will, of course, ask you to file for the 212D waiver. But just because you get a 212D waiver doesn't mean your green card problem's over. She'll have the same problem at the green card stage.
Okay. The question is, they made her sign a letter that the letter she provided is a fake. The situation there was very hostile, and the lady, it's not the visa officer, it's some Indian lady there. She was threatening her, blackmailing her, saying that if you don't sign this, you're not going to leave this building.
I think all this should be pointed out to the consulate and let them make a decision whether she's even subject to the misrepresentation bar.
Yeah, and is there anything we can do? Because she, just to get out of the situation, and the lady actually said, if you agree with this, you are eligible for the next visa. Otherwise, you will be banned for lifetime. And she didn't even know that she was banned until she went to the H-4 stamping.
No, I understand. Yeah, we can certainly help her, or her lawyers can help her apply for go to the consulate and explain the situation. Send them a brief and say that this bar has been incorrectly applied.
Okay. We can question that, right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Area code 414-386. Guys, say hello. Okay. Next is area code 212. Go ahead, please. Area code 212. Area code 212-250, phone number, hello. Okay. Next question, area code 540-308.
Hi, thanks Rajiv for responding all the questions. I have one follow-up question on the priority date porting.
Yeah.
So when the request to the priority porting of the priority date is submitted, is it during
the I-140 stage? When you file the I-140, that's when you submit it.
So is there a way whether the prior employer has revoked your I-140? Already approved I-140 has been revoked or not?
Is there a way to find out? Is that what you're asking me?
Yes.
I don't believe so. You can try calling USCIS, try letting them know that you are the beneficiary of the case, but usually they will not give you that information because it's private information of the employer.
Okay. So when we are applying for the second I-140, so we will come to know whether the port has been, the priority date has been ported or not.
Yeah, you should. You should, because you should specifically ask for it.
Okay. Okay. Right. Thank you very much. Thanks.
You're welcome. Good luck. Okay, next question, area code 917. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Rajiv. This is Drew here for the reentry permit question.
Yes, Drew, go ahead.
My question is, though, you said that regardless of the stint, right, if it's under 6 months or over 6 months...
Yeah, I always tell people to just use your reentry permit. It's so much easier.
So would instead of applying the reentry, if I limit my trips to like 4 to 5 months, so should I even bother with the reentry or should I?
I want you to apply for reentry permit because, see, what happens is if at any time they question whether you really have even taken up residence in USA or whether you abandoned your residence, reentry permit at least partly protects you. It doesn't completely protect you, but it partly protects you.
Okay. My second question is, though, like, I have the reason for my trips are because I'm trying to launch my own business. So right now I don't have much income. So would that also be a problem during naturalization or does it
matter? No, it should not be a problem for naturalization eventually. As long as you're paying your taxes, you're not required to be a multimillionaire. And
okay.
Also, the fact that you're trying to establish your business is a very good reason for the trips abroad. Just bear in mind one thing, that a green card is considered to be abandoned if your stay outside USA is not foreseeably concludable within a few weeks or months. So let's say I leave USA intending to come back in 6 months when my business in India would be done, and I come back in 6 months, no problem. If I leave USA not knowing whether my business will take 6 days or 6 years, but I come back in 6 months, potentially they can take away my green card because when I left, I wasn't sure when I was coming back.
Okay. So, and this is regardless of the reentry permit or not?
Well, reentry permit does protect you a great deal. If you look at the theory of the reentry permit, theoretically, a reentry permit is merely a declaration that I don't intend to abandon my green card. That's
okay.
It. Okay. Typically, USCIS doesn't go behind that. I have never known them to go behind that, unless the case is extreme. You never lived in USA, you never established any ties. But even then, I've never known them to question a reentry permit. But theoretically, they can.
Okay. And you said apply, what was the N-470, I guess?
N-470 is very important. See if you qualify for that.
Okay, cool. I'll check that instructions out. Thank you so much, sir.
You're welcome. Good luck. My next question is coming from area code 414-937. 414-937. Okay. Last question is from area code 404-200.
Hi, Rajiv. This is Suresh Da.
Hi, Suresh. What's up?
Hi. The ID name of Sai for GC.
Yes, of course.
Thank you very much for your
friend
service.
Of mine,
right? Yeah. Can I ask you a little one more question I want to add up there, but you know.
Sure.
Yeah. So regarding this is like a medical RFE which my wife got, and they are asking regarding the chest X-ray because during the TB test it was fine.
Sure.
But in the old records, when I gone through old records, doctor has included everything. And chest is cleared and everything, but they've forgotten to put the checkbox as normal. The doctor was forgotten. So here my question is that
the doctor can give you a letter and they can give you another sealed medical result.
Okay. So we need to go through again that chest X-ray or the old
no,
one
no.
is sufficient.
The doctor should be able to give you a letter And if possible, they can even attach the X-ray saying that we took the X-ray, we forgot to check mark the right box.
Oh, okay. So no need to go for a chest X-ray again if we have records.
I don't see any need. It happens. Doctors make mistakes too. I think it should be fine.
Right. Yeah. They highlighted that part.
Yeah, it's harmful to get too many X-rays done. So obviously, you don't want to get too many X-rays done.
Oh, okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Sure. Bye bye.
Thank you.
Okay. I have one more question. Area code 713. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I have a follow-up question regarding my WH4 case.
Yes, I remember your case. Go ahead.
Yeah, once we get the case number, can we immediately file for change of status?
You can actually file for change even without getting a receipt number, because as long as you can show that you have sent in your complaint, that's good enough.
What will be the proof in that case?
They are asking you to send it via mail, right? So you can send it via Federal Express or something that shows delivery.
Actually, we are planning to go in person in Houston office.
Why don't you just send it via Federal Express?
Okay, I will do that. And once we get the receipt number or something, do we need to document the case and apply for H4?
No, that is not something you have to do. Department of Labor, Wage and Hour Division does all that.
Okay, fine. Thank you, sir.
Good luck.
Thank you.
All right, guys. A bunch of people had raised their hands, but they haven't spoken. Either they don't like me or they're shy. I have all of you unmuted. There's four people who are currently unmuted, but they're not talking. Let me try again. Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Hello.
Okay, I can hear all of you. One by one, please. Ma'am, go ahead.
I want to talk to you. I am 5310023. Are you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Just hang on 1 second. I'm starting with area code 386.
Thank you so much.
Yes, area code 386. Are you there? Area code 386. Not there. I'm muting you. Okay. Let me go on to the next one. Area code 860. Are you there?
Yes, I am here, and I spoke with you already.
Okay, you're done. All right.
Yep.
I'm muting you. You're done. Muted. Okay. Area code 212. Are you here? 212-250. Done. Muted. Okay. Area code 414. Are you here? Huh. That's weird. I guess people may not know their area code where they're calling from. Okay.
That's a problem.
Yeah, just 1 second. Sir, 414, I just heard you say something. That's the problem. Go ahead, please.
No, my conference area code, and I am confused with conference code. My conference code is 531023.
No, no, that's not what I'm concerned. I'm sorry. I should have made it clear.
Okay, I'll give you my question now. See, you answered me very well about my staying here. I have exceeded the first lot of my trip to US, India. That is 182 days.
Right.
So what is the reason I could give? What is the plausible reason that they could be, it will be acceptable? But actually, I have to stay by for my daughter's marriage on that particular day.
Sir, let me stop you right there. Any lawyer who tells you what your reason should be put in prison.
Okay.
A lawyer who tells you what reason to give should be put in prison because he's telling you to tell a lie.
Okay.
These papers are filed under penalty of... Let me finish. These papers are filed under penalty of perjury, which means if you lie, the government can prosecute you and put you in prison for up to 5 years.
Okay.
So, what the reason could be? Whatever the truth is. Don't make anything up.
Okay.
Whatever the truth is, you tell the truth. Satyam eva jayate.
That's what.
Okay.
So will you be able to take up my case? Supposing I just file a
request. Why do you want to spend money on me? What you can do is, where are you located?
Okay.
Which city?
I am staying in San Jose, California.
I want you to get a local lawyer. The advantage is, we do citizenship, difficult citizenship cases all over the country. But where the case is relatively simple. It doesn't involve very big legal.
It's very simple, excepting the first part. Otherwise,
so you want to get a local lawyer who can go with you to the INS.
Okay.
See, for us to fly to San Jose would cost you too much money. It is much better, and it's not a complicated case. It is much better that you get yourself a local lawyer.
Okay. On the same thing. That means I can myself also plead that I tell the truth what has happened. And let
you tell the truth. Absolutely.
Otherwise, what will happen? Supposing they say, no, mean next time I can apply after 6 months. What is the procedure next?
You can apply right away again, sir. That is not a problem. As long as you meet the requirements of the law, you can apply as soon as you meet those requirements.
No, what I mean is that 6 months, you know, again, I can apply after 6 months, you know, instead of applying when it is due, can I apply after 6 months then? That question is not
When was the 182 day period, sir?
The first trip, you know, 180 days is start.
Which year? Which year?
That is 2000. I'll be definitely in October. I'm eligible. Just now, I don't have.
Let's take an example. Let us say that you were gone from USA 5 years ago in 2006 for 182 days.
Yes.
Then what we'll do is we'll count out the whole 2006 and we'll say your citizenship begins in 2007. Then you become eligible to file again in 2012.
Okay.
That's how they will count.
I am eligible to apply only in October first week.
I just gave you an example.
Actually, I'll be finishing my 5 years in 2012, January 7th or 8th, something like
that. Sir, you're not listening to me. I just gave you an example.
Okay.
So in 2012, if you apply, and it turns out that in the first year, which is 5 years from 2012, which becomes 2007, you were gone 182 days, most government can do is take the whole year off. That means you become again eligible in 2013.
I see.
Okay.
I understand.
But I do want you to discuss with the local lawyer. It may not be that big a deal, frankly.
Okay. Thank you so much, and you're doing a great service. Keep it up. We are really proud of you. Doing
my pleasure.
A great service.
My pleasure.
God bless you. All the best for you.
Thank you, sir. Good luck to you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thank you.
Hi, Raju.
Oh, hi. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Raju.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Hi, Raju. This is another migrant. I was asking 140 approved and H-1B transfer. Thanks for your feedback, suggestion.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes, sir. I can hear you.
My quick question is, I initially asked on behalf of my wife, who is H1 Danielle and other stuff. Actually, she was an ex-Trivalley student, and with your suggestion, she immediately went to India and came back.
Oh, good.
She has a H4 stamp in 2015. I don't know. They gave us her 5 years of H4 validity. Now, question is, her I-94 expired in this July because it was depending on my prior H-1. Now, I got extension. I got a visa from, Calgary, Canada. And we want to travel to Niagara, Canada, and come back with a new I-94. She has a H-4, and I have H-1 for next 3 years. She is good for next 4 years. What is the suggestion?
When does her H-4 visa expire?
Her H-4 expires in 2015, May.
I don't see any problem in going to Niagara.
Okay. I have a visa for next 3 years, 2015.
Yeah, I don't see any problem. If she has a valid visa, there is no problem. Even, actually, if she just had a valid I-94, that would have been enough. But in this case, she has a valid H-4 visa, I don't see any problem.
Yeah, we both are in... That is my quick question. Sorry to disturb you, I guess.
I don't see any problem, sir.
Okay, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Italy, perfect solution, working well for me. Thank you.
Good, I'm glad, sir. I'm very happy that I could help. Good luck to you.
Thank you, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. All right, guys, it's now 3 o'clock, so I have to sign off. It has been great talking with all of you. Thank you for being here. I know that some people couldn't talk with me. I'm not sure why. I think 3-4 people, but I tried. And listen to the conference call again. We'll be back in 2 weeks anyway. Good luck to you folks. Bye-bye.